it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it starts off first on like the strength part of things, the movements, and that's step one, John. Then on the field, the change of direction, the pivoting, the moving, all of those would be the things to go. So we'll just take it, you know, as it goes, you know, through the week. But he'd have to see all of the steps, you know, along this week to hit those marks, the speed, the stopping, the change of direction, all of it.
Dan Quinn yesterday, finally, we got news on Jade's injury. Of course, it broke with the national guys right before his press conference. Dan Quinn, let's face it, if you have read some of the quotes or you watched the presser with the guys and gals on the beat, he really didn't get specific about anything as it relates to the knee injury itself. But the reporting suggests a sprained knee. John Keim, in his story, had that the MRI last Friday revealed no serious damage. So, day to day, we'll certainly learn more tomorrow and find out what he is on the injury report. And then Friday, it sounds like Dan Quinn will know for sure on whether or not Jaden will start on Sunday. I have no idea really what the outcome will be. My guess would be at this point, because of the lack of information over the weekend, the incredible secrecy around this, they did a good job of not letting anything leak out until right before Quinn spoke. The fact that Quinn was not specific even in his presser yesterday tells me that there's some concern and that there's a pretty strong possibility that Jaden will not play against the Raiders on Sunday. That is a total, you know, tea leaf reading, not based on any information. If Jaden's injury was insignificant and not going to cause any concern as to whether or not he would play on Sunday, we would have heard that a few days ago. There's obviously some concern. He obviously got it banged up. We learned about the play in which he got hurt on. Although Quinn wasn't even specific about that in answering Nikki Jabala's question during the presser yesterday. But he suggested, and I think everybody figured out, it was the first play of the fourth quarter when he was forced out of the pocket by who else? Micah Parsons. And then number 20, Bullard, hit him helmet on knee. He went and played the rest of the game. Now, there was no indication of limping until he rolled his ankle on that final drive of the game. He did that too in the game, and he got up hobbling after that as well. But Jaden Daniels is day-to-day. My guess is we're going to get Marcus Mariota against his former team Sunday, the Las Vegas Raiders, who lost last night on Monday Night Football in the late game, 20-9, and did not look good, losing to the Chargers. They'll come east, short week, 1 o'clock kick, 10 a.m. West Coast time. Should be advantage Washington based on those indications alone. Typically, they are, but with no Jaden Daniels, who knows? But we'll obviously be here to discuss this day by day, because we'll have more information certainly tomorrow. Maybe not for the show tomorrow, but for other shows that come after Quinn speaks and after they practice. Now, I do have some thoughts on Jaden Daniels being injured now for a second time in 22 games in his NFL career. Last year, you know, obviously the rib episode, this year with the sprained knee. Let's not forget he got injured in week two and came out for a play or two last year against the Giants, and he was on the injury report last week with a wrist injury, even though that amounted to nothing. I will get to some of those thoughts, and I want yours as well here in this first hour. We will do that. One one guest on the show, actually two, but one live. Tom Shad, the new guy at The Post, is going to join us at 10:35. So 30 minutes from now, Tom Shad, who is now on the beat for The Washington Post, replacing Nikki Javala, who went to The Athletic. We've not had Tom on the show. He'll join us at 10:35. And I've got a treat for you, I think. I think I do. You know, most of you, or the majority of you, really loved when Cooley did his film breakdowns. He was really like a pioneer on that front. Now, he had a lot more information than most people, and certainly more than the internet film breakdown people. He knew what the plays were, he knew how they were designed, and then he was able to analyze with the All-22 the result based on the intention of the play. And he was so good at it for so long, did it, you know, initially with Zabe, and with Galdi, and then he did it with me when we were doing the show together, and then he did it, you know, on my podcast for a few years, and he'll do it, you know, he'll do it again this year when he is paying attention to football, which is hardly ever right now. But on the show today will be Steve Suter. Steve, for those of you who don't know, Steve calls Maryland football games with Johnny Holiday on the Maryland Football Radio Network, which we carry right here, Maryland and Wisconsin, this Saturday at noon at Madison. The Terps are undefeated through their first three games and have a pretty exciting quarterback. But that's not why Steve, you're going to hear from Steve today. Steve is a Washington fan. He's a big football fan. He's a tremendous analyst. It's why I've had him on to talk Terps and talk college football in the past. Steve, by the way, I didn't mention, was when he left college in the early 2000s, he was the all-time leading ACC punt returner in every category and owned several NCAA punt return records as well. He is still in the record books for various records in the ACC and the NCAA. He was a phenomenal punt returner at Maryland and a pretty good receiver as well. Anyway, the Maryland baseball coach, his name is Matt Swope. Matt listens to the show, and Matt reached out to me recently, and he said, you know who'd be phenomenal at doing kind of the Cooley film breakdown? Steve Suter would be. He is just incredible. Everybody that talks to Steve learns so much about football. So I tried him out yesterday on the podcast, and you're going to hear about 15 to 17 minutes of it. He's excellent. Excellent. Really good. So Steve Suter, probably at 11 or maybe 11:25. Haven't decided yet. Our rundown is dynamic today. It's evolving as we go along. This from Timmy. Timmy writes, Sheehan, quit whining. It's an Eagles thing with you. Shove off. Yeah, I get that last part. Shove off. Thank you, Timmy. From Jason, stop your complaining. The Eagles have figured out something the rest of the league can't stop. How about come up with ways to stop it? Shut the blank up. Thank you for that, Jason. I talked yesterday about the, you know, tush push brotherly shove being really, I think, at this point, an abomination for the league. From my standpoint, I would bet a lot of money that this thing is gone, certainly at the latest by next year. They are regretting not finding those other two votes at the spring meetings. You know, Jason Kelsey went in and did a number on a number of owners in pitching that this thing should not be abolished. And somehow he swayed enough owners to vote no on the rule change. And so we've got to deal with it, I think, one more year. I think the chance of it being legal next year is near zero. I really do. One of the reasons, just so everybody understands, pushing a ball carrier or pulling a ball carrier, pushing from behind or pulling, was illegal in the game forever until a few years ago when they started to allow it by not calling it and then by rule. I mean, you couldn't do this for most of your NFL watching days. You could not push a ball carrier from behind. You could not pull a ball carrier from behind at any point. Or any location on the field. It's not like, you know, we're not talking about something that we're trying to abolish that's been around for years. We're trying to stop something that's been around for about 7 or 8 years.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And then the point really is six tush pushes in a game, six plays of your marquee game. This is a television show, people. The NFL and football in general is a television show first, hence the $27 billion in revenues that primarily come, those revenues do from television entities, streaming entities. It is a show. It's entertainment. There's nothing entertaining about this play because it's the only play in a game that has no drama and a play which the outcome is already determined before it starts. Every other play you watch, even an extra point, has some drama because you're not entirely sure of the outcome. So you're going to run six plays that don't look anything like football the way we watch it. Looks like rugby, a scrum, where there's zero drama, zero interest, because it is a predetermined outcome. They are not going to get stopped. Now, they may get stopped on third and two from getting a first down, but they'll get that yard to set up fourth and one. Because I saw the stat, the Eagles were 4 for 6 on tush pushes. Well, I don't know what that means, because they weren't stopped from getting a first down on any of them. The two misses were third down misses. You know, third down two, where they just advanced it to get it into position to run it on fourth down. This is, it's a play. Look, I don't blame the Eagles. Let me be clear on that. These are the rules. They're using the rules. They've got a big offensive line. They've got a big, thick quarterback. And they are guaranteed, if they can gain at least 8 yards on first and second down, to maintain possession of the football. Especially since they're not legislating. They're not enforcing the rules on the play. And good for them for breaking the rules on this play consistently with false starts. By the way, the opponent breaks the rules too. There are a lot of lining up on, in the neutral zone. There's no doubt about that. But there's false starts, there's offsides, both sides, and it's not being enforced. So this play, which has no interest, no drama, because it is the only play that's run in a football game where you know what the outcome is going to be, it's not enforced. And then beyond that, and this is what I've made the case for, recently, is that I know that, literally it doesn't slow the pace of the game. But when you've got six of these, and often back-to-back on third and fourth down, it is two plays that you can basically get up and leave the room. You know, like the PAT used to be, because that was pretty much a guaranteed outcome at 97% or whatever it was. And that's kind of where we are with the Philly tush push. And they did something about that. They moved the extra point back. There weren't any kickoff returns. People said, that's a play you can get up and leave the room for. Go to the bathroom, go to the kitchen, get more food, get more, something else to drink. But they fixed that. This is a play you do not have to watch. It's painful to watch, but you know what the outcome's going to be, especially if they're going to let them break the rules. It's not their problem that they're breaking the rules and getting away with it. It's the league's problem. Why aren't they enforcing this? But the pace of play to, again, not literally, figuratively, for the game to basically come to a halt for multiple plays during an offensive drive, not a PAT, not a kickoff, where you don't have to be on the edge of your seat because you know what the outcome is not good for the game. Not good for the game. I can't imagine that there isn't a bunch of, especially Sunday, with six of these in the marquee game of the weekend, marquee game of the early season NFL schedule and the rematch of the Super Bowl, there wasn't some hand-wringing about not getting those two extra votes. I do not blame the Eagles for this at all, Timmy and Jason. And it's not a whining thing. I promise you, If this were Jacksonville or Carolina doing this, I'd feel the same way as a football fan, as an NFL fan. Certainly, the fact that it is the Eagles makes it a little bit more hurtful, but it's not a reaction changer for me. It's not like I'd be in favor of it if it were somebody else. No. They're getting rid of it. Massive money, I would bet, that this thing does not exist this time next year. I don't know if they can get rid of it in the midst of this season. I don't think they can. But I would bet in the league offices and around the NFL, this is something where they're like, you got to be kidding me. We're going to watch six of these in the rematch of the Super Bowl. Where there's literally no drama, and now Kansas City has no chance to get the ball back. And I'll add this, and I've talked about this for months now whenever this subject has come up. I understand having a guarantee of a first and 10, but they're losing a lot of big play potential, a lot of yardage. You know, you've got the best offensive line. You've got a quarterback that's dual threat. You've got arguably the best running back in the league. You've got maybe the best pair of wide receivers in the league, certainly top five in terms of wide receiver pairing. We know the explosive plays that happen on third and one, third and two, fourth and one. You know, those are where you get super big explosive plays. You also can get stopped and turn the ball over on downs. So they're not going to take that risk when there is a guarantee that they're going to have a first and 10. Understood. But it is something to I'd love somebody, you know, it wouldn't take that long to go through all of the tush pushes and then to go through all of sort of the average of third and one and fourth and one yardage, or third and two, fourth and one yardage plays, and come up with the amount of lost yardage the Eagles have had by choosing to run this. I mean, there's a quid pro quo there. It's like, okay, we're going to get those big plays, but we're also going to punt occasionally because we may not make the third and two or the fourth and one. Go for it if we're running a normal football play instead of this abomination of a rugby scrum. I think it's really important, though, that this league, this was against the rules forever. Forever you couldn't do it. So it's not like you know, somebody just figured something out and, you know, after all of these years and you're going to end it. No, this was against the rule for, you know, 75 years or whatever it was. However long the NFL's been around. Minus like 8 years. I forget how old the league is. The league's probably 100 years at this point, right?
Yeah, they hit their 100th year a couple years ago. They did that.
Yeah, we did that. Yeah, so it's 106 years, 107 years. It has been illegal for probably 98 of those years, is my guess. It was. Stupid, the whole thing. All right, let's talk Jaden Daniels. We'll do that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. And don't forget, you can watch us on the Team 980's YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button when you get there.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.